SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Sports Grid Pro Football Full Circle. If you missed anything on the Sunday slate, we got you covered. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Sino. For the next hour, we will be recapping the Sunday slate here all the way from the 1 o'clock kicks through Sunday night football. Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Sino. I'm on Twitter at Drew Martin. Betts at Sports Grid. At Sports Grid TV. Sirius Channel 159 listeners, thanks for joining us. Radio affiliates across the country, thank you as well. Mark, the Sunday slate is pretty much water under the bridge right now. We got two Monday nighters coming up, but how this weekend treat you, man, from a betting perspective in the NFL, and what can we take going forward?
I suck. That's what we can take going forward. 0 for 3 days, not good. I bet two unders, and 11 of the 12 games today went under. I mean, went over, rather. So I was not on the winning side. Yeah, it was not a good day for Mark. So it was much happier Saturday.
Yeah, I know you did well on Saturday, and it's bounce back mode in the NFL. And we can take some things we learned from this week and become sharper handicappers in the future.
Sure,
Mark, I guess we. Yeah, that's the whole point of it. Sunday nights right here on Sports Grid. First game up, L.A. Chargers, Tennessee Titans, 1 o'clock Eastern kick here, Mark. 27-24, that was the Titans on top of the Chargers. 45.5 was the total. Just gets up and over. Minus 2 in the hook, that was the Chargers as the road favorite. They go down outright as the home dog was barking. That's the Titans. They look good, a lot better offensively. Maybe some of that was the Chargers' defense here, Mark. But what'd you take away from Nashville today?
Brandon Staley isn't a very good coach, and Mike Vrabel is. And that was the reason to back Tennessee. You know, his number was 3.5, and it went away fairly quickly just because, you know, sharp bettors realized that the Chargers going on the road and Brandon Staley having to prepare for a team like the Titans that's physical is not in his wheelhouse. So I'm not surprised at all that the Titans won the game. I love them plus 3.5. Again, minus 2.5 is a tough number to take there. But, you know, this is more for me, you know, coaching matters now more than ever. And when you look at this game, the Titans had a lead for a better part of the game. And Los Angeles was playing catch up. And they did catch up and forced overtime. But Titans win it where it matters. And they get a money line win and a cover as well.
I mean, Mark, one thing with the Chargers, you know, cool uniforms, Herbert at the quarterback position. But when you look after 2 weeks, they're 0-2 where it counts in the standings, win-loss here. But both of them tight losses. You know, the Dolphins game back and forth. They lose by a couple points. This one in overtime on the road against Tennessee. Do you think now's the time to jump on the Chargers, or do you think something's wrong with the Bolts?
I don't think anything's wrong with the Bolts per se. Their roster is one that should win a lot more than they lose. It's coaching. Brandon Staley is not a good coach. He's routinely outcoached and underprepared for his opponent. And it's readily obvious. I mean, good coaches take away the one thing the other team does well. It's not in his repertoire.
And we are seeing the Chargers at the Vikings this upcoming week. Interesting
one. There you go. Somebody's got to get a win. They're probably going to tie those two teams.
Guys, next game up, we get the Green Bay Packers and the Atlanta Falcons. In your neck of the woods here, Mark, is it finished 25-24, the Atlanta Falcons on top at home. However, they do not cover here, guys, as Atlanta went off. It's the minus 2.5 point, minus 3-point favorite. 40.5 was the total, gets up and over. Mark, what'd you take away from Mercedes-Benz downtown ATL?
There was a lot of action this morning, a lot of money coming in on the Falcons. Push this line, which Green Bay opened up, as you see there, minus 1.5. Falcons closed as a 2.5-point favorite. So you essentially had a 4-point swing there across the board that got the number to where it was. Give credit to the Falcons. They got behind early. They fought back in. They stayed in it. Bijan Robinson had a great day on the ground. Arthur Smith is a very good coach, unlike Brandon Staley, and was able to squeeze out a win here. The Falcons offense probably still a little bit more stagnant than I thought it would be, but their defense is much more ahead of what I thought they were going to be. So Falcons will have a tough test on the road next week, but you know, this is still a work in progress offensively for this team, and they'll continue to get better each and every week. I think this is going to be an undervalued, underrated team. And next week with them catching 4.5 points, feels like that's the side you want to be on against the Lions, because Lions might win that game by a field goal.
Yeah, on the road in the Motor City there, you're right, Mark, -4.5. Maybe look towards the dog. As the Dirty Birds, 2-0 out the gate, maybe one of the more surprising ones. We get Indianapolis and Houston up next. Saw the Texans go down to the Colts, 31-20. That was the Colts on top as the road, I guess, pick them here. Houston -1 at some shops. But the total was 40, gets up and over, as a lot of these games, like Mark talked about, 11 of the 12 games getting up and over. And Indy winning in a pick 'em spot here on the road. Do you take anything away from the Colts beating the Texans?
I thought the Texans defense was going to be a lot better. And Anthony Richardson had to leave the game with a concussion, and Gardner Minshew finished it. So, you know, not the game I thought was going to unfold. There was a line flip in this game too earlier in the week that it was the Colts as a 1 point favorite, and then it flipped to the Texans being a 1 point favorite. So just not the right side there. So we'll these aren't two teams that I expect a ton of, but I did think the Texans defense was going to be better, and they weren't.
Mark, you bring up Gardner Minshew taking some snaps here for Anthony Richardson getting banged up, possible concussion. Interested in your thoughts. I've kind of thrown this out. Are they actually, would you power rate them higher with Gardner Minshew, considering Anthony Richardson is such a young quarterback? Or you think I'm off in thinking that?
If there was a different backup, yeah. Gardner Minshew is not a good quarterback, so I don't think they're higher with him. I think what Anthony Richardson could do with his legs and the way he can improvise makes him the better quarterback here. But maybe that's just my feeling that Gardner Minshew isn't all that and worth backing. So they have to go on the road to Baltimore next week. Tough place to play. They're catching at the 8.5. You know, if Richardson's playing, I could see a world where I could take the Colts, but Ravens are very tough to beat at home. And the Ravens are probably in a little bit of a letdown spot after winning on the road in Cincinnati, a place that they have had major problems with the last couple of years, at least since Joe Burrow's been in the league.
Yeah, interesting trip there. Catching 8 as the road underdog. Pay attention to who's taking snaps, or at least projected to, in that game as the Colts visit the Ravens. Guys, we're making our way down the Sunday slate. If you missed anything, we got you covered from a betting perspective. He's Mark Zeno. I'm Drew Martin. Follow him on Twitter at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter at Drew Martin Betts. We're going to take a short break. Be right back on the other side with more recaps. This is Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Sports Grid, pro football full circle. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, recapping the Sunday slate. If you missed anything, we got you covered from a betting perspective. Making our way down the Sunday card, we just talked Indianapolis Colts and Houston Texans. We got Seattle and Detroit next game up from the Motor City. High scoring affair here, as 11 of the 12 games on Sunday did go over, and the Thursday game went over. So that's 12 of 14 so far in the NFL for week two going over the total. That was after week one going under. But either way, guys, Seattle and Detroit, 37-31 was the final, 47 being the total, -4.5 Lions at home. Do you think take anything away from this 1 o'clock matchup, Mark?
Well, this is one of these games that when you look back on the Lions season, and if you're somebody who bet their over win total and you didn't cash, well, This is one of the games that you were supposed to win. Seattle's not very good. And that was evidenced last week by the Rams being able to beat them. But the other problem, too, that stands out here is that, guess what? The Detroit defense still isn't good, and it's a problem. It's, you know, they're going to have a tough time stopping people. So let's not think that all of a sudden their defense got fixed because of week one against the Chiefs. Guess what? Travis Kelce wasn't there. The Lions don't win that game if Travis Kelce is playing it. They just don't, period. So regardless, you know, this is a spot where I would be concerned if I was a Lions backer going forward.
Mark, next game up, Chicago and Tampa Bay, 27-17. That was the Buccaneers on top of the Bears. 1 o'clock Eastern kick, 10 a.m. Pacific here. Tampa Bay -2 in the hook as the home favorite. 41, we can call it the total, 40.5 at some shops. So barely gets over the total, and Tampa Bay wins and covers as the home favorite. What'd you take away from Raymond James on Sunday?
The Bears are bad. Bad. The Buccaneers shouldn't have won in week one, and they won in week two because the Bears are bad. That's what I took away. They're a mess right now. Their offense doesn't look anything like I thought it would look. Justin Fields doesn't look anything like I thought he was going to look, and they can't stop anybody. And that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, what it was 13-10 at halftime. They took a little separation there in the second half. And I'm looking at Justin Fields, 16-29, 211 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Man, he took 6 sacks as well. I don't know. It's going to be one of those things we're going to have to watch if he can turn it around. Baker Mayfield, kind of, you know, a little bit more potent, I guess we can say, 26 of 34, 317 yards with a touchdown. So definitely a better game for Baker Mayfield, like you touched on. 2-0 out the gate for the Bucs, winning a tight one in week one and now knocking off the Bears at home. So a good start for Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers. Next game up, we get Las Vegas and Buffalo, the Raiders making the trip up to the Northeast. At least in person, you know, on the field, not so much. They lose 38-10 to the Buffalo Bills. Bills cover the -7.5 point line as the home favorite, 47 being the total. This one inches up and over by a point. If you bet the under, that's one of those that stings just because it's kind of like a blowout game and it sneaks over the total. Not that it doesn't happen. It does happen when you bet unders, Mark, but that it just stings a little bit more. Did you take anything away from Raiders and Bills?
Get right game for the Bills after what happened to them on Monday night. Come home on a short week, and you know their offense looked like we thought it was going to do. And it shouldn't have looked like that in week one against the Jets because the Jets are good defense. But it should have looked a lot better than what it was. And guess what happens when you don't turn the ball over? You know, if you don't turn the ball over, guess what? You have a much better chance of winning the game. Josh Allen didn't turn the ball over, so you're more likely to win when that happens.
Next game up, we get Kansas City and Jacksonville. Chiefs win this one 17-9, 1 o'clock Eastern kick here. Chiefs anywhere from -2.5 to -3.5 as the week went on. They started to have to lay more points as Chris Jones comes back. They were just healthy all across, Kelce coming back as well. 50 being the total. This is the one game that stayed under, Mark, but the Chiefs win and they cover as the away favorite in North Florida.
Doesn't have to be pretty, but you got the better team, better coach, better quarterback in Kansas City. They're supposed to win this game. I keep telling you guys, the Jaguars are overhyped and overpriced. This should have been Kansas City by about 6.5 is really what the number should have been, if not 7. They're that much better than the Jaguars. So, I mean, they would have covered it anyway, winning by 8, but point simply being, there's no way the Chiefs should have been under a field goal favorite. I don't care where that game is. You can play that game in a lake. The Chiefs should be a touchdown favorite over Jacksonville.
I'm with you. I think the Jags are overpriced as well. I feel like last year was the year. I think you're a little bit late to the party if you're looking to bet them this year. You know, solid team. They have a chance to make the playoffs. I mean, the marketplace would tell us that coming in. They were like -200 to win the division after being plus 700 last year. That's what I mean. The mispricing with the Jags, just the secret's out, you know, and I don't know that that's the best way to make money, is to kind of follow those type of moves, just because a lot of the quote unquote value kind of let out of the balloon. But hey, it is what it is. Kansas City wins and covers as a 3-point road favorite. Next game up here, Mark, we got time for one more. Baltimore in Cincinnati, 27-24. That was the Ravens on top of the Bengals. 45 was the total. 46.5, I guess, was the high water mark. It goes over the total. Cincinnati minus the 3-point favorite. They lose outright. Joe Burrow follows up his lowest passing total of his career last week with another loss this week. Got to worry about the Bengals a little bit. What'd you take away from Cincinnati today, Mark?
Joe Burrow's not having a good start to the season. Maybe you shouldn't have come back early. I backed the Bengals today minus 3. They've had a great run of recent success against the Ravens. Their defense, their secondary. Jesse Bates left in free agency to go to Atlanta. Atlanta's defense is much better. Cincinnati's defense is much worse. Their pass defense is bad. They need somebody in the back end of that thing. They've got to address it quick, because if they don't, they're going to continue to find themselves in shootout games like this. And although they have the quarterback and the offense to do it, guess what? If you're playing from behind for a better part of the game, it's a tough way to try to play. So I think the Bengals really have some concerns at this point in time. Look, they've started out 0-2 in 3 of the last 4 years and have made the playoffs without an issue. So, you know, point simply being, it's not anything that they can't handle. But yeah, alarm bells should be going off in Cincinnati.
Really, 3 of the last 4 years they started off 0-2 and made the playoffs. That's a nice stat, Zach, Mark. I didn't realize that.
Zach Taylor's a terrible coach. He's surrounded by great talent. It's not that hard to make him look good. That's a bad coach.
Interesting. It also speaks to, it's a quarterback league, right? It's a coaching league to some respect, but I always say college football is the coaching league. The NFL is the quarterback league.
Yeah. I mean, again, I don't want to sit here and tell you that, coaching doesn't matter. It absolutely does. But it's one of those things where you when you have a guy like Joe Burrow, covers up a lot of deficiencies, man. A lot of deficiencies.
That's what a good quarterback can do, guys. He's Mark Zeno. I'm Drew Martin. We got a short break. 5 games left to recap on the Sunday slate. We'll do so after commercial break here, guys. Follow Mark on Twitter, at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter, at Drew Martin. BetSirius, Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. We will be right back after a short break. This is Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. Pro football full circle. If you missed anything on the Sunday slate, we got you covered from a betting perspective. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno. This is Sports Grid on social media, at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. Follow Mark on Twitter, at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter, at Drew Martin Betts. Making our way down here, guys, recapping the Sunday slate. We just talked Baltimore, Cincinnati. Next game up here, Mark. For survival leagues, this was a big one, just because a lot of people thinking, you know, fade the Cardinals. When can you use the New York Giants again? And it was a close one. You had to sweat it out if you did that. This is the first 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific kick from Sunday. New York Giants go on the road into the desert and win 31-28 over the Arizona Cardinals. However, they do not cover the minus 4.5 point road favorite number. 40.5 being the total. Easily up and over. What'd you take away from Arizona today, Mark?
Giants were outscored 60-0 in the first 6 quarters of this NFL season.
That's amazing.
Probably not a stat to your name. They came back and won. You give them a ton of credit, but you know, again, this is a Giants team that is probably not going to make the playoffs. I wasn't sure about them coming in. I think that there's a lot that, you know, they have to get right. Look, it's a long season. you can't make any grand gestures about what they are at this point in time. They just haven't looked good. Saquon Barkley had an ankle injury. So, you know, for all the people screaming, pay a running back, pay, that's why you don't pay a running back. It's exactly why you don't pay a running back, because a dude gets hurt all the time. And Saquon Barkley is one of those dudes that get hurt all the time. So further, you know, providing the Giants with the ammunition they needed not to pay him long term, there is that different conversation, but you can't get down that quickly. You can't be a team that gets down that quickly. Daniel Jones played really well in the second half. I'll say that much. Played very well. Put the team on his back and carried him for the final 30 minutes and got his team to win a game that they absolutely kind of had to have, given the fact that the Commanders improved to 2-0, the Cowboys are 2-0, and the Eagles are 2-0. The Giants would have started out 0-2. That would have been bad. Would have been really bad. So that was kind of a must-have for the New York Giants, and they got it.
What are we thinking with the Giants? I know you know this team very well, Mark, but going forward, I'm looking for their game next week. I mean, are you looking to be betting on New York just because of this second half? You know, you bring up that 60-0 in the first, what, five quarters or six quarters. That's just an unbelievable stat. But obviously they turned it on enough to grab a win over an NFL team. Could that be like momentum going forward?
I got to find the stat. I got to go back and find the stat. There is a stat. There's a trend about Thursday night games and East Coast teams flying west. I wonder if the number has to be under, but it's a terrible trend for East Coast teams flying west on a short week where they cross two time zones. That's what it is. It's definitively when they cross two time zones. So going from all the way out east to all the way out west and how they perform. I think the 49ers are going to roll the Giants. Absolutely roll them this week. I actually like the Niners minus 10.
So you're thinking like blowout special, like maybe even like adjusted line, like they win this game by 30 points is possible.
I mean, I got to find the trend 100%. I know it crosses two time zone teams going from east to west on Thursday night. It's not good for the team going east to west, right? Going west to east is easy. Your body clock is okay. Going east to west is where your body clock gets thrown off. Right?
Oh, man. No. I see. Like me personally, when I travel east, that's the rough one. Like when you go from Vegas.
Hold on. It's the other way. Yeah, maybe I'm getting it wrong. You're right. I think I'm getting it wrong. See, everybody forget what I just said for the last 30 seconds. I gotta go research it. I know it's out there. I've played the trend before. Maybe it's west going to east because that throws your body clock off, right?
I mean, it would for me personally just because you lose 3 hours. When you go west, you gain 3 hours. That's what, like, my brain always tells myself. And so you kick off 3 hours later. Nobody really cares about that. These are all young guys, healthy guys. It's the time you lose. That's how I always look at it. But granted, I'm not putting on shoulder pads and a helmet and going out and play against NFL athletes.
Maybe you're right. I got to, again, for everybody, I'll get the stat. I'll find it. I've played it before. And so I'll have to go look at it.
Yeah, they are the Thursday game coming up, guys. Thursday, September 21st against the 49ers. Man, that defense has looked pretty good. We'll talk about them here. Actually, next game up. -7, -7.5 point road favorites. That was the San Francisco 49ers going on the road to Los Angeles and taking on the Rams. 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific kick. 30-23. 49ers on top, landed right next to the number, depending where you're shopping here, 7, 7.5, 45 being the total. So we get up and over. 49ers and Rams. Did you take away anything from Inglewood today, Mark?
The most confusing, perplexing, mind-boggling decision I have seen by a coach in recent memory, which Sean McVay did today. The San Francisco 49ers backers deserves his pretty little hair and face to be messed up for a long time. That's just, you know, how I feel about it. 49ers, who are 7.5-point favorites, are leading by 10. They need a touchdown and a field goal. Sean McVay, with exactly 4 seconds left, and there's not a field goal in the NFL history annals that doesn't take at least 4 seconds off the clock, instead of throwing a ball in the end zone to try and make it a field goal game, he kicks the field goal itself and gets it, lines up for a 44-yard field goal, kicks it and gets it, and every San Francisco 49ers backer who laid the 7.5 became a loser. Don't understand it. Never get it. No reason to do it. Unless Sean McVay had the Rams plus 7.5. I would love to know what the reasoning he said was kicking that field goal. I hope somebody asked him in the post-game press conference. I'll go look for it tomorrow. But in the meantime, yeah. You know, it's interesting because there were some sevens popping up in the marketplace earlier this morning. Numbers matter. If you got a seven, you got to push. You're 7.5, you loser. And I was a loser.
Loser. Speaking of loser, New York Jets. Oh, it's been a rough go to the season so far, and it was a rough Sunday. Sorry about that, guys. Our producer, Frank, a Jets fan in the background. But 30-10, hey, the uniforms look great. I'll say that. This black and the dark green, I really liked it. 30-10, though, that was the Cowboys on top of the Jets. Cowboys go off -8.5-point favorites, 38.5 being the total. Just gets up and over, and the Cowboys win and cover easily here. Mark, what'd you take away in the house that Jerry built?
I'm trying to leave my emotions out of this one as somebody who had the under 39 and this thing landed on 40. What did I take away? The Jets couldn't find the red zone or the other side of the 50 with a roadmap, a flashlight, and a personal guide. One play, a 68-yard touchdown pass that Zach Wilson threw to Garrett Wilson was the only offensive touchdown they scored. The Cowboys were aided on a touchdown by not one, not two, but three defensive penalties, all of them on third down inside the red zone that got the Cowboys to a touchdown at the end of the first half, which also helped push this thing over. If neither one of those two of those things happen, I probably have more money in my pocket today. But
what do you think? Yeah, what are you thinking about the Jets going forward, my man?
Jets unders. Just keep betting Jets unders.
Yeah, and this one sneaks over. So, you know, if you're onto something there, it kind of keeps it alive for another week, you know, in terms of maybe people jumping off of that and getting a little bit extra value. Seeing the Jets next week. Man, we got the Patriots and the Jets. That's right, 38. Oh. I do like that under. Ooh. Patriots and Jets under 38. I could see that thing finishing.
Is a key number in totals, so you better get it before it goes 37.5.
Yeah, that thing has, 17-10 written all over it, something like that. Look towards the Jets and the Patriots into the under. Next game up here, Mark, we got Washington and Denver up next. 35-33, that was the Commanders on top. 38.5 being the total, way up and over. -4, that was the Broncos at home. So Washington wins outright as the dog. Did you take anything away from Mile High?
Completely surprised by the amount of scoring in this game, given what I saw from those two offenses last week. I don't know. I take away that Russell Wilson still is not a good quarterback anymore. I think Washington is going to be surprising a team that surprises people. Right now, I don't know what they are to make the playoffs. Let me see if I can find a number on Washington to make the playoffs right now. But their defense is better than people think. And even though they gave up a lot of points today, they're under the radar. I think people are going to be surprised by week 7, week 8 with that team.
Interesting. Yeah, tough division. You talked about it earlier. What happens if the Giants go 0-2? So maybe a wild card spot, like an outside shot, big plus price, Commanders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they have every chance. Yeah.
He's Mark Zeno, at Mark Zeno on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, at Drew Martin Betts. Guys, short break. You're not going to want to miss the next game we're breaking down, Sunday Night Football. Dolphins and Patriots on the other side. Heavy thoughts. This is Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Sports Grid, pro football full circle, recapping the Sunday slate, Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. This is Sports Grid. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno, and recapping all the games, which we've hit now, pretty much all the Sunday games, guys. And we got one left here. Miami Dolphins, New England Patriots, AFC East division rivalry game here, Mark. 8:20 Eastern, 5:20 Pacific kick. It was 24-17. The Dolphins on top of the Patriots. They cover as 2-point road favorites, 46 being the total, landing just under the total. So another under game here. There's only two of them on the slate, but the Dolphins do win and cover as the road favorite in a game that ended on a play that I don't think you agreed with. Anyway, I'll throw it over to you. What'd you take away from New England tonight?
Their offense and Mac Jones have to play from a positive game script. He's not a quarterback you can play catch up with. He's just not. And not only that, it's not even just him. There's not enough weapons for him to play catch up with. I mean, who are the receivers there? Juju Smith-Schuster? Kendrick Bourne? Like, these are not receivers that are, you know, even number twos to a certain extent in this league. So you're asking them to be number ones with a quarterback that doesn't elevate anybody. So it's not a favorable spot for Mac. And they have to play with a lead, and they have to be able to establish the run, and their defense has to be able to create opportunities and turnovers. And that didn't happen tonight. Dolphins are too good of a team.
Yeah, and I mean, the outside, I saw a stat here. Well, first off, from Pro Football Full Circle, they have two of the top 12 wide receivers in their Pro Football PFF rankings anyway. So we get the talent on the outside. And speaking of this Dolphins offense, Tua being as accurate as he is down the field, they're 40 times. Tyreek Hill, 4.29. Mostert, 4.32. They get Waddle, 4.37. I mean, these 40 times all under 4.4, man, there's so much speed on this Dolphins offense. If they're able to stay healthy, man, who knows? Sky's the limit for this Fins team. I mean, it's coming from a Fins fan here, Mark, but I mean, they just went on the road back-to-back weeks, knocking off the Chargers and the Patriots, then coming back home, going to go off as the favorite this upcoming week. But overall, this is a great start for the Dolphins. It's tough to go 2-0 in the NFL, both games on the road, man. So, I don't know. How do you think this season ends for the Dolphins?
Probably with the playoffs. I mean, what's the reason to believe that they wouldn't make it? You know, what's the reason to believe that their defense is their only real liability, and they've got to get that figured out. But, you know, still, this is a team right now that looks offensively incredibly tough to stop, and that's a good Patriots defense, and they absolutely – you know, were able to put the clamps down on Miami for the most part, but Miami made enough clutch plays when they needed them to go out and get a win, and you give them credit for that.
Mark, what'd you think about the last play of the game besides the kneel down where the Patriots had the football, kind of pitched it back to an offensive lineman? It looked like he had the first down, but the call was overturned, the ball given to Miami. Thought it was a athletic play by the Pats offense. It didn't work out, at least according to the NFL officiating.
Before we get to the officials, Mike Gesicki, it is 4th and 4. If you don't get a first down, the game is over. Why would you run a 3-yard out route? Know where the sticks are, run the route to the damn sticks and catch the ball. So the dumb forward progress rule, regardless of where you get tackled, automatically nets you a first down. I can only imagine when Bill Belichick goes over the tape how much he's going to eviscerate Mike Gesicki in front of the whole room for not taking one more step, which takes less than a second, less than a half a second at an NFL player speed, and then cutting up and catching the ball at the first down marker. Then you don't have to throw it back to a 300-pound offensive lineman who clearly caught the ball, clearly took enough steps forward, clearly fell on the line to gain, and yet somehow the NFL officials decided, yeah, nope, he's short. I don't even care. I don't have any money on the game. I just, you know, look, in order, there are three things that ruin the NFL on a weekly basis. You want to know what they are? And this is the order. Kickers, referees, and coaches. That's it. They make the NFL unwatchable to a certain extent.
That's what betting's for, guys, to make it fun. Betting on the Dolphins here, 2-0 out the gate straight up and against the spread. Dolphins next week here. Mark, I'm looking at the line, and it looks like we get Dolphins as the favorite near a touchdown. Any thoughts on betting this team moving forward? Do you like to bet the Dolphins? You think they're going to be a profitable team moving forward? They head home for the first time. You look to lay the price?
Let me just look at the number here real quick. Oh, they're playing.
It's 6.5, and they're playing the Broncos. -6.5, Miami.
It's a big number than I thought it was going to be. I would have said 3.5 or 4. And here's the thing. I mean, you know, they put up a big number against, or I should say Denver was able to score on a good Commanders defense and was able to put up 30 plus points. So, you know, is it impossible for them? I think the more Sean Payton continues to run this offense, the better it theoretically should get. But it does feel like a lot of points for the Dolphins to be laying, just from my perspective.
Yeah, maybe a little bit out of the price range. I could see that. I mean, this is the first time, you know, I know they went off as the slight road favorite against the Pats, but really when you get to laying near a touchdown, that's kind of like almost a different profile. You know, you got to cover the number, not just win the game. It's the first time they'll be in that profile. So, I mean, that's always a question mark. I'll tell you this, though. I'm not looking to bet on the Broncos. I think the Dolphins have the better quarterback, the more talented offense. I don't know about the better defense, but they're at home, humid. You know, it's still humid in South Florida in September, and you're getting a team from, you know, dry air of a mile high. I do think that matters. Any other games you have circled here? I mean, you talked about the Thursday game. That's an intriguing handicap. I mean, thank God for betting, really, in the NFL, because we get the 49ers hosting the New York Giants, where this might be blowout written all over it. But, hey, -10, the ultimate equalizer here, Thursday night, 45 being the total. I know you know this Giants football team very well, Mark. I think you alluded to 49ers maybe with a stomp down on Thursday night. Is that really where you're going with this one?
I mean, it's a lot of points to lay. The Giants have given up a ton of points this season. And again, some of that wasn't their fault, again, in the opener. But, I could see it. It's tough, though. Laying double digits is always tough. I kind of run in the other direction. Again, I think Atlanta getting 4.5 against Detroit feels like a good bet. Detroit probably still a little bit overpriced there. 3.5 might have been a better number. Eagles -6.5 at Tampa Bay is something I'm very interested in. Let's find out how bad Tampa Bay really is when they have. The problem is the Eagles offense hasn't been great. That's a Monday night game next week. God, the Rams and Bengals on Monday night. Ugh, how gross is that?
Hey, Mark, I'm just thinking off the. It is kind of gross, especially the start that the Bengals have gotten off to. But, you know, you threw out the stat, East traveling West, West traveling East, short week in the NFL. There's something to it. One thing I'm thinking about, though, the Giants were just playing in Arizona, and it's a short week, and they're playing on the West Coast in San Francisco. Yeah. Did they stay out West?
Yeah, they probably will stay out west. It's a good point, Drew. I didn't even think about that. They probably will stay out west and just train in California. So they probably hopped a quick flight today. They're probably already in bed, you know, by the time that game was over. They're already bedded down and starting for next week. So that's a fair point, yeah.
Yeah, it just popped in my head because it is the short week. That's why I'm almost – I'm not positive, but I'm just thinking I'd be surprised if they did not stay out West. And then you kind of got to go by what Brian Daboll, their head coach, who their coordinators are, who they're mixed up with in the college football game. It's usually how it works. And then they would stay at, you know, a nice hotel next to those facilities and use those facilities, probably either in Arizona or in the state of California, if they have any connections like that, and then go to San Francisco. I would guess that's how that would go down, right, Mark? I mean, fly back to New York, and then the next day, that they're not doing that.
No, they're absolutely not flying back east and then flying west in a short week. So the NFL is at least kind enough to plan it that way for teams. They just stay out west, so the body clock stays, and then they come back.
And to tell you the truth, this is another handicapping kind of philosophy I like to use. Is it a team-building experience here? Not only for this game for the Giants. It's not even really about this game. It's about staying out west together, getting to know each other, team-building, morale-building. For going forward, are we going to see a better Giants team, you know, the following week, the week after that? You think there's anything to that type of handicap?
Could be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. What about you?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I remember, man, there was, I want to give credit to whoever told me about it, but it was an NFL team that did that. I think it was actually the Dolphins last year. I could be wrong on that, but I think the Dolphins stayed out west. I'd have to go through their schedule, and we're up against the break, so I'm not going to be able to find it. But they stayed out west, and they started off the season. You know, they were kind of like a game or two under 500 at this point in the season. Then if you remember, the Dolphins won a couple games down the stretch and even played really well at Buffalo in the playoffs. And it started after they stayed out west, guys, for that week. And another handicapper, I forget who it was, told me that. And I'm like, you know what? I think there's something to that. I really do. I'm going to start looking to bet on NFL teams that stay in a certain location, which isn't their home. So the time they would normally be spending with their significant others, they are spending, you know, with the boys, so to say. And, you know, a little morale, a little team building experience. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the Giants who, hey, let's face it. What's the stat, Mark? Their first three halves of the NFL season, meaning the first game and the first half of week two, they were outscored 60-0. That's the stat, Mark. That's an unbelievable stat.
Yeah, well, it's not a stat that you want to have associated with your team, but that really is the that's the fact of the matter. They did not play a first six quarters of football this year.
So to actually look to bet on them maybe after this team morale experience, like I'm at least setting up as a handicap, guys. It can't get much worse. Let's just put it that way. So it might be a good time to try this out for your own pocketbook. I'll probably be doing it. At Drew Martin Betts on Twitter, at Mark Zeno on Twitter. Short break, guys. Final segment up next. Pro Football Full Circle. This is Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. Sports Grid, Pro Football Full Circle final segment here, guys. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno each and every Sunday night. If you forgot to watch the games on Sunday or Saturday, we got you covered in College Football Full Circle and in the 11 o'clock Eastern hour, Pro Football Full Circle. Thanks for joining us for this segment. Huge shout out to Gabriel on Twitter. Listening to us on Sports Grid, how about those Commanders betting a 2-0 team at home receiving more than 6 points? It's been a good trend. Thoughts on this? Commanders plus 6.5. It is an interesting one. I guess catching points, being a 2-0 team, he might be onto something. He says the Buccaneers as well. You think there's anything to that, Mark? And hey, I guess it's final segment. Any final thoughts here for the Pro Football Full Circle segment?
To his point, I would look at the Commanders plus the points against the Bills. I think the Bills will probably win the game, but Washington probably is the right side as far as covering it is concerned. But, you know, again, there's a difference between being a good 2-0 team and a fake 2-0 team. And the Buccaneers, rather, are a completely fake 2-0 team. That's what this part is. They played a Vikings team that turned the ball over way too many times, and they won that game, and they played a really bad Bears team. So I'm not going to sit here and endorse backing the Buccaneers in any size, way, shape, or form.
Two Monday games here, Mark. We're up against it, but New Orleans and Carolina, Saints laying 3 on the road, Cleveland -2 at Pittsburgh. Any thoughts here on the doubleheader for Monday night?
I think the Saints are the right side. I would lean on the Steelers as also this side that I would back.
I like the Saints, guys. I really do. I'm going to fade Bryce Young until it's not making money anymore, at least at the NFL level. Hey, call me a skeptic. I just think some of these rookie quarterbacks, man, it takes them a little while to get up to pace. But great stuff from Mark Zeno, as always, at Mark Zeno on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Drew Martin Betts, Sirius Channel 159. Thanks for listening. Shout out to Matt George and Frank behind the scenes making it happen, guys. That does it for the show. We'll be back next Sunday. Cash those tickets. Sports Grid.